Let's look into the scripture before we do pray. And would you join me in a familiar place, Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm. You might can almost quote this by heart, right? Zola can probably quote it in two languages. This is where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we have considered a number of these, we've nicknamed them the resolutions of faith. This is where faith gives voice to its conviction. And it says, "I will," or "I will not," or whatever it is called upon to say. And it says it with conviction and with some glad note of authority. We see these here. There are several that pop up in this one psalm. Verse 1, "I shall not want." Verse 4, I'll read to you from the beloved King James. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And then verse 6, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So, I will not want, I will not fear, but I will dwell in the Lord's house forever. Now, these statements are all based, as the little psalm, short though it is, it proves that these statements of David are based on experience. You know, like Abraham before him, who grew strong in faith, Paul says, so David did too. And it was, if you look at Abraham's life, then you realize it was experiences of God's faithfulness. It was the realization of his presence. It was the testimony of his power and his glory that was attending his ways. And so you get to the point where the real tests come and he's able to pass them, isn't he? We're going up that mountain and we'll come back down. We looked at that one, but Paul is looking at the one where he's about 100 years old and he considers that God is able to give life where there is no life. He grew strong, and David grows strong and gives voice to that strength because of what he has been through and what he's experienced. There's a past tense sense of blessing here. What does he say in verse 5? "Thou hast anointed my head with oil." I figure that this psalm was written sometime after the visit of Samuel. That's just kind of how I could be wrong, but that's how it reads to me. And he thinks of the time that God has come upon him with that anointing oil, and he says, this is what God has done. And it changed everything for David. He speaks of the past. He speaks of the present. In verse 5, he says, "My cup overflows." And this is a present experience. You know, God did this once, but he's still doing it. He is still upholding me. And my cup, well, it just keeps running over. That's a sweet thought, isn't it? And then in the future, for him is bright. He says in verse 6, "Goodness, surely goodness and mercy," or loving kindness, "will follow me all the days of my life." Now, that's encouraging. Here's a man who can say that God has done this, he is doing this, and he will yet do this. And as we say, it's based on experience. What's the old statement? It takes one to know one. And so what does David say? He says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's the testimony of a little shepherd boy who knew exactly what it meant to take care of a bunch of wayward straying animals, how to lead them here and bring them there, how to find for them that which they obviously can't find for themselves. quiet waters, green pastures, a place to rest, a place to be refreshed. David knew all about that. He said, this is my life up to this point. And as I think of what God is to me, he is my shepherd. This is, again, it takes one to know one. This is the experience of David as a shepherd boy. And so he says, what? This is what the Lord has done for me. He makes me lie down, verse 2, in a green pasture. Or he leads me beside quiet waters. As just as I've done these, my dad's sheep. And so God has done for me. He says in verse 3, he's taken care of me. Well, verse 2 speaks of how he's handled him and taken care of him in, I don't know, all sorts of natural ways. But then you get into the spiritual and he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. There's a statement for you. For his name's sake. He sees the hand of God that changes the hearts of men. And he says, and he has shaped my heart and fashioned it in such a way that I want him, and I want his righteousness, and I want his glory, and I want his restoring. And the things that David wanted, the Lord was giving. And so he could say, he has done all of this for me, just like a shepherd would do for any one of his beloved sheep. But then we look in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of death's shadow. Now someone might say to David, brother, what are you doing there? Why are you there? If the Lord has led you, if he has made you lie down in a green pasture, if he has led you beside a quiet waters, and he's restored your soul, and he's guided you in his paths, why are you here? And that's just the voice of theory speaking. It's not the voice of experience. The voice of experience knows that these things come. We cannot avoid them. Now, Darrell Spurgeon would say, well, you know, this is one thing, and that's another thing, but this valley that he's in is just the shadow. Death overshadows it. But it's just a shadow. But again, why are you here? And I think the answer to that is back there in the very first line. The Lord is my shepherd. There's something about this that we cannot avoid. God leads his dear children along. We sing it, don't we? And we want him. What do we want? Let me put it in my own terms. I want joy and happiness. I want prosperity. And I want to be full. And I want to be happy. And I want all my friends around me. And then to fall like that. Unexpectedly, unknown, and off to glory. I don't want to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to just bypass it altogether. And I want men to say, you know, Stephen didn't have to go that way, did he? No, he went the easy way. He went out the quick way. But I have a feeling, that's more wishful thinking than reality. The Lord is my shepherd. And as he said that, then he went on to say, he has led me here. He has led me there. He's led me another place. And all of a sudden, here I am now. And I'm in the valley where death's shadow is overcast over it and spread over it. Well, this may be the most beautiful expression then of this faith, the most concrete resolution. As he looks in the face of that, then he could say, verse 4, even though I walk there and walk through it, I will fear no evil. I will not fear. I will not fear it. Now, if you go on over to Luther's psalm, you'll hear the psalmist saying, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea and the waters roar and foam and all this happens, the world changes, we will not fear. And that's a great statement. And you think, oh, in the end times, you know, it's going to get this and it's going to get that. And the church can pick itself up by her own. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. The church can encourage your heart and stand upright and say, now we are not going to fear. But this is a different kind of experience here in verse 4. It's very personal, isn't it? This is me. This is my life. These are my days. It's the valley that I'm in. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And then it's glorious when he says, I will not fear. I will not. He has set his face because of what he has tasted, what he has known, what he has seen. This is not the kind of statement that's saying, evil is not going to come to me. He is saying, even when I'm there, I will not fear it. Now, what's the man's confidence? It's based on the past experience. And this is important for us to remember. This is why we should recall the Lord's doings with us, his kindnesses, how he's touched us here and met us there and blessed us in another place. We should bring those to mind because David is doing this here. I will not fear. Why? For thou art with me. He is not only being led through these things by the shepherd, but he knows this, just like any shepherd boy would know, the Lord is there with him. His shepherd is not going to let his sheep wander away and get out of his eyesight, out of his control, out of his ability to help and to bless. He says, no, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, this is so wonderfully clear in this man's heart that he says this, my enemies, which I don't seem to be able to do anything about other than praying to God about them, my enemies are going to see something. They're going to watch me sitting down at table with my Lord. And because God has prepared a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. That is a glorious thought. Your foes see you feasting with God, as the song has it. Well, this is not whistling in the dark. This is not a man trying to, as we almost said a while ago, pick himself up by his own bootstraps. This is a fellow who's looked at the past, who's realized the presence and the help of God every step of the way, and who knows that he is the master over wherever he is. If enemies are gathered around, if death's shadow is here, if the uncertain future stretches before him, all the days of his life yet are there, God will be with him. God will be there. So there's real value when you're chased around a mountain by your adversary. You remember that time? Saul was going this way and David was going that way to keep away from him. There's value in that. What is the value? You see the hand of God. There's real value when an enemy comes strutting up against Israel and saying, I'm devoid of fear. Come here and I'll give your body to the birds of the heavens. And there's value in this because you get to see that God can guide that one little stone in your slingshot and drop that guy. And you know, if he can do that, what can he not do? If just picture, because time is out, you'll have to do this for yourself, but picture those glorious places in David's life, those experiences where God was there. And it's the sort of thing that we say, well, what do you know? It looked one way when I stepped into it, and it's altogether different when I come out. Why? God was there. And so, when we see that, and we realize that, and we let our heart dwell on that, then we'll be able to say, our own little resolution will be this, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. All right, let's pray.